Very important news. The struggle is over today, all right? The struggle is over. Hallelujah. I can't wear none of my suits, John. I got to look for something small, amen? Had to go through a mall closet this morning. Like, what am I going to put on? All right? Oh, yeah. My wife said, you can't wear them suits you normally wear. Your neck looks small. And you Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God is good, saints. We did our first to the 21st, and we give God all the glory for that. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank all those who fasted with us as a church. Amen. Because everything that we pray for in this body, God answers us. I noticed that, especially the things that we fast for and we pray for. And I remember one year we was praying, we was asking God, we say, God, make us a national ministry. Give us a national voice. Look how God has done that, amen? Look how he's done that, all right? Now watch this. You fasted and prayed that the people would be awakened, that something would happen in the people, amen? And I want you to remember that prayer, amen? As 2018 rolls out, I want you to remember the reason you fasted and that prayer and watch how God do some things. I remember when we prayed for open doors. Amen. Remember these doors that's open around here? Huh? Didn't God answer those prayers? Amen. Y'all, he's a living God, and he hears the cries of his people. Come on, give God some glory. All right, let's see what else. Men of God, hallelujah, we not going to meet tonight, amen, hallelujah, because I'm just coming off the road, amen, and we're going to just go ahead and rest tonight. But don't worry, we're going to keep on plowing, amen, until we get this thing done. And so we're going to do it, hallelujah. Let me see what else. The volleyball league is getting cranked up, hallelujah. Come on, give God glory. We got a lot of women that signed up, man, and I'm just so excited about that, amen? And I'm ready to watch y'all just get y'all shine on and play and fall, and we're going to laugh. And it's just going to be so good, amen? Men of God, I'm bringing popcorn to these games. We're going to, because they laughed at us while we was playing, amen? But the first volleyball game, amen, is the 28th, hallelujah, this Sunday, next Sunday coming up. Oh, this is going to be good. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be good. And it'll be held at Progressive Baptist Church's gym. Amen. I don't know the time, which is 3 p.m. All right. So, like, after church, we go get lunch, and then we go watch the ladies play some volleyball. Hallelujah. 3 p.m. Glory to God. And so that is awesome. Amen. And First Lady just wanted me to reiterate, amen, to the lady. We've been talking about a lot. Ladies, amen, that we playing volleyball, but don't you dare come dressed like the world play volleyball. All right? Don't do that. Don't do that. All right? And I know you got your little coaches and stuff like that, but Pastor and First Lady going to be watching. And whoever dressed inappropriate, they will not play. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't care how good you are. You're not playing. Don't come in all of this and all. Like my grandma used to say, assis-toi. You know what that means, Jenna? Sit down. Oh, yeah, I'm going to look at you in your eye and tell you with a smile. You sit down. You know, don't come dressed like that. Don't come dressed like that. All right. All right, let me see what else. All right, I got serious for a second. All right, let's see what else. Hallelujah. Love, you have anything else? Wow, yeah, the ladies been reading through John, the book of John. Amen, and they've been going off in the mornings, amen, and during the evenings with their revelations. So the ladies finishing John right in accordance with the 21-day fast. Hallelujah, that was awesome, man. Hallelujah. Ladies, good job reading the book of John. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, listen, let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 7, and we're going to get cranked up this morning. So good to see y'all, man. I'm just excited about what the Lord is going to do in 2018. I just feel something special is happening, amen. Hallelujah. And don't you let it pass you by. You plug in and be a part of that, amen. Keep your mind in the game. Focus on what you need to focus on, amen. Don't let 2018 be a year of wasted time for you. You know what I'm saying? How you stop worrying about everybody else. Amen. My wife told me something good. Get them people out your head, amen. Get them people out your head, amen. Are you, who told you that? Amen, amen. Get them people out your head, amen. Stop letting them people live in your head for 2018. All right, don't let them live in your head, amen. Do God, do you and do God in 2018, amen. And you're going to be blessed. All right, Acts 7:10. Hallelujah, and we'll get going. Hallelujah. The Bible reads, and delivered him, that's Joseph, God delivered him out of all his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom. Somebody say favor and wisdom. God gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. God, we thank you for your word. Blessed now, our Savior, in Jesus' name. And put a hedge of protection around this place. Bind the enemy out in every manifestation. Loose your anointing in. Put a host of angelic help around us like David in Mahanaim. Bless us, O King, in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints, we've been in the book of Acts just going through, amen, Stephen's dissertation, amen, on Israel's history. And as Stephen is going through, amen, he talks about the patriarchs. And the patriarch that he is on right now, he's talking about Joseph. Somebody say Joseph. And we've just been talking about Joseph's life. And I can just kind of move fast over this, but it's so much meat, amen, so much word, hallelujah, that's just embedded in the life story of Joseph. And so we just kind of taking our time, going line by line, precept upon precept, and we just learning some things about life and about the struggle as we look at Joseph's life. And I can go fast and just go through this, amen, but Joseph's story is not one that you fast forward over, amen, especially not right now, amen. I think this word is for such a time as this. Anybody hear me up in here, amen? Because we have some Josephs up in here. We got some people going through the struggle, amen, that's at the bottom or been at the bottom, but God is slowly raising them to the top. Anybody hear me up in here? And so we've been talking about Joseph, and we talked about his brothers being moved with envy. We talked about how they sold him into Egypt, and we talked about how God was with him even though he was struggling, amen. And it's good to know that God is with you even in the nighttime, even in the prison, even in the slave house, amen, that God is still with you, and God was with Joseph. And so we started a series with 3 points, and we looked at, number one, God delivering him out of all of his afflictions. And so we looked at chapter 40 of Genesis and saw that even in prison, Joseph had risen to the top, and that being at the top, he had an opportunity to meet the baker and the butler of the king of Egypt. And they had a dream, if y'all remember, and the dream troubled them. And Joseph interpreted the dreams, amen. And just how Joseph interpreted the dreams is how it happened. And Joseph told the butler, he said, listen, he said, remember me, please. Because God's going to restore you to your position. But when you get there, amen, when you get back in the kingdom, remember me. Kind of like the thief told Jesus. And the butler was like probably like, yeah, I'm going to remember you. But as soon as he was restored, he forgot. Amen. And the Bible said that Joseph stayed in prison 2 full years. 2 more years. Amen. And hallelujah, he was stuck in prison. But the Bible says that when man forgets us, God remembers us. In fact, he never forgets us. Amen. And Pharaoh had a dream. And we looked at that last time, that none of the wise men, none of the magicians could interpret the dream. And then the baker said, I remember my fault this day. There was a young Hebrew boy in the prison who interpreted our dreams. And just as he said, it came to pass. And last time we saw Pharaoh called Joseph out of prison. After all those years locked up, he was called out of prison. And it didn't happen, amen, over a week period of them processing paper, nothing like that. It happened suddenly, y'all. Suddenly, Joseph was in prison, and suddenly he was out. God moves in a hasty, suddenly type of a way. This morning, we're going to talk about, amen, our second point. And the second point is called in the sight of Pharaoh. Somebody say, in the sight of Pharaoh. We'll talk about that this morning for a little while, and then we're going to break camp, amen. I don't think we're going to be too long, but who knows how the Spirit listed, as the Bible says, amen. And so let's look at it here, Acts 7:10, it says, and delivered him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, to get the full story, saints, we're going to have to go back to Genesis. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 41. If you don't have your Bible this morning, I'm going to put it up on the screen. But Genesis 41 is where we want to be. Focusing in, zooming in on verse 15. Hallelujah. Picking up where we left off. And the Bible says in 41:15. Hallelujah. Say amen when you get there. I'll say almost. All right. Here we go. 41:15. The Bible says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. All right? So Joseph is standing in front of Pharaoh right now. We're picking up where we left off. And Pharaoh is telling him, just like the butler and the baker, I myself, I've dreamed a dream. And Pharaoh tell him, listen, I done tried everybody else and none can interpret the dream. And I just want to reiterate right here what we've been talking about for the past few weeks. And I just want to, hallelujah, you to keep it in your mind. Just write it with a pen of steel in your mind. Amen. That if you wait for God's set time, if you wait for God's set time, his appointed time in your life, there will be a need that shows up that only you can fulfill. All right, do you have that? Do you have that? Come on, say, I'm waiting on my set time. Yeah, God has a set time for you. All right? You see what Pharaoh says, that no one can interpret this thing. All right? It's God's set time, and it's Joseph's set time. All right? Pharaoh goes on in this verse, and he says, hallelujah, I have heard that you can understand dreams and that you can understand and you can interpret it. That's what he says. Thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. All right? Let me put something else back on your mind. Just a little review. All right? When your set time comes, amen, your set time, that need is going to be fulfilled by the giftings that God has placed inside of you. All right? Just remember that. All right? You ain't going to have to invent nothing new. You ain't going to have to try to fake it till you make it or become a new person. Amen. That hour is going to be the hour that you was born for. That hour is going to fit you like a hand fits inside of a glove. You ain't going to try to have to. You're not going to have to be anybody else. You see, for your set time, you're going to be authentically you. Amen. And fulfill the purpose that God has placed upon your life since you was a child. Come on and give God some glory. Amen. All right. So you're waiting for the need. Amen. God set time for the need. But also your gift is going to make room for you. Your gift is going to make room for you. You just got to wait on it. You just got to wait on it. All right. All right. Let's keep on moving down. Amen. The need's going to have something to do with your gifting. All right? Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. Here we go. Now, this is going to be something new, but we need to pay attention to it. That was just kind of like the review points. Verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. All right? I love that what Joseph said. Joseph said, it's not in me. It's not in me. Pharaoh said, I heard you the one that can do this thing. I heard you can interpret dreams. Joseph said, nah, if you think it's in me, like I'm the source, you got it wrong, my boy. You got it wrong, Pharaoh. All right? Joseph tells him, listen, it's not me, but it's God in me. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? All right? Here's the next thing you got to understand about your time, your season. And even you operating in your giftings, you got to understand that you got to stay humble and give God all the glory. All right? All right? Yeah. Stay humble and give God all the glory. Because truth be told, amen, every good and perfect gift comes from above. You only can sing, you only can dance, you only can preach, you only can teach, you only can counsel, you only can administrate, you only can prophesy, you only can pastor, amen, because God gave you the gift to do it. You only know money, amen, you only know this, you only know that, because God gave you the gift to do it. And so when people come to you saying, listen, I heard that you're the only one that can solve this problem. Joseph could have been big head and say, yeah, by the time you get me out of this prison, amen, you've been sitting on this me for too long. By the time you lift me up, nah, it's not about me. I'm not the source, amen. God put it in me, amen. To him belongs all the glory. All right? Let me break something down for you, all right? When you have favor on your life, all right, people gonna hate you, all right? When God's favor and blessing is upon you, people not gonna like you, all right? And they're gonna be jealous of you, especially in your area, all right? You see, because in every other area, you might not be too much. But in your area, you come alive. You come alive like Michael Jackson on stage in your area. You know what I'm saying? You're quiet in every other area, but let them call you in your area. All right? Anybody got an area that they good at? Anybody? Come on. Put your hand. All right? We know God gave it to us, but let's just admit it. God did give us something. Hallelujah. And if you don't know the something just yet, just wait a while. Hallelujah. He going to reveal it to you because we all have something. All right. I done heard people say, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any talent. That's a lie of the devil. You got something. You got something. He gave us all something. To every man he gave a gift. Every woman. All right. You just hadn't found it out yet. But in your area, hallelujah, you're like him. I don't know. I'm just talking about music a lot. They can't touch this in your area. You hear me, Rose? They can't touch you in your area. That's why you got to find your area. All right. But Roger, when you get in your area, they're going to hate you in your area. They're going to be jealous of you. Because they're going to look at you and they're going to say, man, why we can't do it like him? And why we can't do it like her? And instead of finding their area, they're going to hate yours. All right? And it's just the way it goes. You can't change that. All right? What you going to do? Not operating your best because they're going to hate you? Nah. They're going to hate you regardless. So my philosophy is let them hate. You know? But the other thing you can do, you got to learn how to stay humble. You know they're going to be jealous of you. You know they're going to hate you. They're going to be jealous of you and hate you because they can't do what you could do. All right? All right? And they're going to hate you. But you got to learn how to stay humble and give God the glory. Why? Because you're going to help them. All right? You don't want them to hate. You want them to be better than that. Don't hate. Participate. You understand what I'm saying? All right? All right? But as believers, we got to learn how to help the haters. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, help the haters. Yeah. You got to learn how to help them. All right? And in church, they say H-E-P. Help them. Help them, Lord. Help the haters. The way you help the haters is you stay humble and you give God the glory, all right? Because ain't nothing burn a hater up more than when you being gifted and proud. When you walk in that, yeah, I'm the bomb. That burn them up even more. And envy is as rottenness to the bones. They're going to try to hurt you now. But if you learn how to be blessed and favored, and living the abundant life and stay low. And stay low and learn how to give God the glory for all that he has done. It's going to help the hit. It's not going to help all of them, T. Because some of them just going to be like that. But a great multitude of them that would be prone to stumble in the area of jealousy, they're not going to be as jealous of you when they see you not take credit for the things that God has done. Anybody hear me up in here? Pastor, how you got all that from this? Listen now. You got to know Joseph's whole story, Crystal. You see, Joseph didn't know this in the beginning. And he was blessed and favored, but he'd go around boasting and bragging, telling everybody his dream and his vision and the plan that God had for his life. And Brother Steve, he was out there and he was telling his brothers, and oh yeah, I'm gonna rule over y'all. And he was flossing his coat of many colors and he just acting like he was too much. And Joseph learned, amen, that when you do that, they wind up throwing you in a pit. You see, but the old folk used to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Look, Joseph learned from his mistakes. And when we read the Bible, brethren, we never hear them hating Joseph again like that. Not that the favor stopped, because he rose to the top everywhere he went. Not that the wisdom stopped. Not that the blessing stopped. He just learned how to handle the blessings and the favor differently. If he would have still been proud, they would have hated him in prison. If he would have still been proud, they would have hated him in Potiphar's house. You see? But he learned how to be humble and give God all the glory. Come on, give God some glory up in here. I'm trying to help somebody. Pastor, why are you telling me that? Because you're favored and you're blessed. And you're going to have to learn how to walk in that. So as soon as he walked up to Pharaoh, he tell Pharaoh, he said, nah, it's not me. God shall give Pharaoh the answer of peace. And right then and there, all the people that's in Pharaoh's court look at Joseph and they change their face from being jealous to joyous. From being, hallelujah, envious, amen, to being, yeah, this is an all right fella, because he gave God all the glory. Listen to me good. Right here we see Joseph giving us a recipe for success. Huh? Number one, wait on a need. Number two, realize that your gift is going to make room for you. Number three, stay humble, stay low. Stop bragging on yourself. Number four, if anybody tell you something good, give God the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not only going to stop people from hating you, but when you be humble, God say, I'm going to exalt you. When you give him the glory for all he's done in your life, he's going to do more for you in your life. Listen to me. This is the recipe right here. Walk in it and be blessed. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Let's keep on going. In the next few verses, Pharaoh tells Joseph his dream again. And we ain't got to read it because we know it. Amen. Remember, he dreamed of seven heads of cattle and seven ears of corn, seven healthy and seven sickly and malnourished. In both the dreams, the seven healthy are eaten by the seven sickly and malnourished. And so he just reveals to Joseph that dream. But he tells Joseph something different in verse 21. And sometimes I ask myself, I say, Lord, sometimes, amen, the Bible be repetitive. And we heard the dream when it first happened, and you're going to tell us the dream again? And sometimes you say, well, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to just skip over. No, when you're doing your personal reading, read all the scripture. Because you never know, God will have a nugget hid in there. All right? Now, in 21, hallelujah, Pharaoh is just telling the dream. But while he's relaying his dream to Joseph, he tells us something that he never told us before. He tells Joseph something that he never said before when relaying the dream. He said in 21, he says, and when they had eaten them up, the seven sickly ate the seven healthy. He says, when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. Pharaoh saying, that's what woke me up. That's what troubled me. Not only was it strange for the seven healthy cattle to eat the seven, the seven unhealthy cattle to eat the seven healthy. That's strange. But the stranger thing was that after the seven skinny one ate the seven full ones, the seven skinny ones didn't change. They didn't get a pot belly. They didn't grow. They didn't look nourished. They stayed malnourished. They stayed skinny. And Pharaoh said it was strange. All the other stuff was strange. But this was the strangest thing. It woke me up. That's what troubled me. When the seven sickly and ill-favored corn, heads of corn, ears of corn, ate the seven sickly ones, he said, and they didn't change? He said, that troubled me. It bothered me. And that's what woke me up. And God told me something there, Miss Angela. He told me something. He told me something. He said, sometimes your message is in the trouble. Oh, God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. God have mercy. Turn to your neighbor and say, listen to your troubles. All right? All right? Pastor, what you talking about? You see, the way God spoke to Pharaoh was by troubling him. Showing him that situation with the cattle and the heads of corn, and it troubled him, right? We need to learn how to look at life differently. We look at trouble in our life as problems that need to be fixed and solved. But sometimes our trouble is a sermon that God is trying to preach to us. Sometimes there's a message in our trouble. Mark, listen, God will oftentimes try to get our attention with something that troubles us. Oh, come on, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, what's troubling you? Yeah, yeah. You see, because sometimes we look over what's troubling us. Sometimes we don't want to think about it. But God uses trouble to get our attention, to put our focus on a particular place because he about to do something in that area. All right? Or he wants to fix something that you're doing wrong in that area. You see, far too long we're not listening to the message of our trouble. We get heartbroken because of trouble. Depressed because of trouble. We cry because of trouble. We get sad because of trouble. When the trouble is all about waking you up so you could pay attention to something that's going on. Oh, God. Oh, God. Somebody say, listen to your trouble. The trouble that God allows in your health, huh, could have a message in it to help you not run into a bigger problem. Because you know the human body is an amazing thing. If you listen to the body will actually tell you what's wrong with it. You understand what I'm saying? You know how you send a car to the shop and they put the machine on it? And the car tells the machine what's wrong? Your body is way more advanced than your Buick, than your Oldsmobile, than your GMC, than whatever you had. Because God has created your body to tell you what's wrong with it. It'll get warm when something ain't right. You'll break out when something not good. A rash will come when you're in the presence of an allergen. Your body will tell you. But what we do is we try to take something to mask the symptoms. We tell the body, hush it up, body. I'm trying to go to work. I'm trying to do me. I'm trying to go to the club, hopefully not. When the body is telling you, you need to stop those things that you got going on because you're killing your liver, you're hurting your kidneys, and your blood not right. There's a message in the trouble. But it's not just with your body, huh? the spirit, I don't even have this. It could be with your mind too. All right? Do you know that your mind give you signals and signs when you're overloading it? Now I'm flowing now. I'm just flowing. I don't even wrote this down, but the spirit done gave it to me. You see, people don't listen to the signs. We stress ourselves out. We worry. We do this and we do that. Amen. And sometimes, amen, our mind will give us signs. Now, hold on now. You got a little bit too many things on your plate. You got me thinking about a little too much. You're worrying a little too much. You better fall on your knees and pray because you're, hallelujah, you got too much on your mind. Hey, God, you need to begin to cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you, all right? Your mind will begin to, you begin to forget some things. You begin to catch headaches. You begin to, hallelujah, have bad dreams. Your mind is trying to tell you something here. Hey, God, and you're not listening to it. We just look at trouble as trouble, but trouble can be God trying to tell us something. Not just in your body and not just in your mind, but a lot of times we'll have trouble in our finances. Huh? Hallelujah. And people talk to us about it, me and First Lady. Whether they want us, amen, to try to look in the church, benevolent funds, and see if we can help them out, amen. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. All right? But what people don't realize is that trouble in finances, hallelujah, is sometimes a message. But people don't like to listen to that sermon. You see, because your money can talk to you. Your money is trying to tell you something. When you look at your account is speaking to you. You see that negative and you're like, oh, I need to make more money. That's not what your money is telling you, no. Because they got a lot of people here that if I had more money, look, oh, bro, oh, goodness, it's about to make me act just being up in here. More money is not your situation. More money. You see, because I done watch people give you a raise and pay you more, and right after they give you a raise and pay you more, you're back in the same situation that you was in. More money can't fix it, no. More money can't fix it. More money is not your issue. It's not your problem. Because I'm telling you, you can make six figures, and you're going to be in the same situation you in. Because you ain't listened to the sermon that your money trying to preach to you. Your money not telling you get a better job, no. Your money not telling you to sell some things. Your money not even telling you to play the lotto like you've been going over there sending and buying them tickets and playing the lotto. Your money not telling you that, no. Because you shouldn't be gambling anyway. Your money not telling you that. You know what your money telling you? Your money telling you that you're buying some things you don't need to buy. Your money telling you that you're not budgeting your money. Your money telling you that you're not keeping a ledger of your money. You're just going out and you're making it rain. That's why you're short. But we get stressed. We want to fuss with one another at the table when we're looking at these bills. When the trouble is trying to tell us something. Trouble in our body is trying to tell us something. Trouble in our mind, trying to tell us something. Trouble with our money, trying to tell us something. Trouble in our marriage, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. When your marriage has got some troubled areas in it, your marriage is trying to speak to you. It's trying to speak to you. All right? And marriage is one of the greatest diagnostic tests that we can ever have. You see? Because marriage, if it don't kill you, it's going to make you holy. But it's one or the other. Somebody say, help me, Lord. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And people be looking at me and come and talk to me and be like, man, what's going on, Pastor? What's happening? What you mean? You're married. Think it not strange, the fiery trials that are. Y'all two different people, come from two different homes. going two different directions. Well, wreck's going to happen. But if you listen to the trouble in your marriage, you got some people when trouble starts, they want to run. They immediately want to divorce. They immediately want to separate. They immediately want to sleep on the couch. They immediately want to go silent, amen, put a brick wall up and live totally separate lives. That's not the answer. It's not the answer. Because the next relationship you get in going to speak to you just as well. So what you going to do, drop from marriage to marriage, relationship to relationship? Learn how to listen to the trouble. All right? Well, what the trouble telling me? The trouble going to tell you that you're selfish. Trouble going to tell you that you only care about you. Trouble going to tell you that you're lazy. You know what I'm saying? Trouble going to tell you that you're not a good provider. Trouble going to tell you that you're not a good leader. The trouble in your marriage going to tell you that you don't know how to submit. Trouble going to tell you, amen, that you don't know how to be head of a household. And so we allow those troubles to happen, and we want to get mad like something wrong with our wife or something wrong with our husband, when really something is wrong with us, and God is trying to tell us through the trouble in our marriage, look, I got some things I need to fix in you. You're not as holy as you think you are. You're not merciful. You're not loving. You got a temper problem. You want to control everybody and control everything. I'm about to show you yourself. And I'm not just showing one of y'all, I'm showing both of y'all. If we would just learn to listen to the what? To the trouble. It troubled Pharaoh. And God was speaking through the trouble. Marriage has been one of the greatest sanctifying experiences in my life. You know what I'm saying? Because it shows me myself. All right? And first lady, tell me, Shem. I said, how you going to say that to your pastor, girl? So you might be my pastor, but you my husband, too. And I love it. And I love it. All right? And the thing about it is that God will put two strong people together. He'll put them together. He's either going to kill you or make you holy. But I tell her all the time, I say, you couldn't be married to nobody else, no girl. Because she's strong. You'd have grabbed one of them little boys, boy, you'd have been walking that little boy down the street. She that strong. Come around, walk me up in here. Oh, all right, I'm sorry. All right. Trouble! Learn to listen to the trouble. It's a diagnostic. It's like a medical exam. We want to, hallelujah, diagnose properly. Any doctor in his field, amen, don't treat the symptoms. Find the cause of the symptoms. Trouble, 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 trouble. What's troubling you? All right? Yeah, if we learn to listen to it. Trouble on the job. Listen to the trouble. Trouble with your kids. Listen to it. What is it speaking to you? Trouble in church. What is it saying to you, the trouble that you're having in church with Christians? Does it mean that you jump out and go to another church? Or do you learn how to listen? Every pastor telling you the same thing. Every congregation telling you the same thing. When you gonna listen to the trouble? Huh? Somebody praise God for trouble in here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody praise him for trouble. Somebody praise him for trouble up in here. You got to praise him for it. You see? That's why in my Bible, Clyde, the Bible tell us, it say, in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We got to learn how to do that. In everything give thanks. Stop complaining for the trouble. All right? Praise him for it. You see, if it wasn't for the trouble in this situation, Egypt would have went through famine and died. The trouble came with a message of salvation. You see, Ephesians 5 and 20, giving thanks always for all things. Thank him for it. Praise him for it. As you go through, God, I know you're trying to tell me something. I know you're trying to save me for some things. I know you're trying to cleanse me of some things. The trouble. All right? Hallelujah. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, even in the trouble. You see? Why can I praise him in all of this trouble? Romans 8:28. Even in trouble, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Trouble is even trouble is working for your good. All right? All right? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, listen to the trouble. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Woo! My God. Verse 25, after Pharaoh reveals in that dream what troubled him, what woke him up. That was a new thing that he was relaying to Joseph. Hallelujah. We get to 25 after the dream. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now, this is awesome, y'all. All right? Pharaoh has two dreams, but Joseph just settles it. He said, listen, it's not two dreams. Don't even think about it as two dreams. All right? God showed you one thing. He used two dreams to do it, but he did it because, amen, the way God works is, if you can remember this precept in the scripture, every word, hallelujah, is established by how many witnesses? Two witnesses. All right? That's the way God operates. All right? And when something is an emergency, I was about to use a legal term, exigent. When something is exigent, when it's an emergency, amen, God will tell you something and he'll say it twice. You'll hear him say, Jesus would say, verily, verily. You see what I'm saying? Or he'll give the vision twice. Or you'll hear something that you need to pay attention to, and then you come to church and then you hear it again. You see what I'm saying? And you gotta learn when you hear something twice, God trying to tell you something. God's trying to tell you something. God's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you something. Now oftentimes he might not do it twice because some of us hard head, especially us Hebrews. And so sometimes you gotta tell it three times. Sometimes he even goes seven times, tell us seven times, and we still don't listen. Listen, you got to learn how to listen for the patterns in your life. If you can open your eyes and look for the patterns, you'll always see God talking to you. See, God speaks in a variety, a plethora of different ways. All right? He does. And in his creation, you got to learn to look for him. You see? Because he fills the heaven. The Bible says the heavens nor the earth can contain him. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So while we're working on our job and we're in the store, amen, hallelujah, we're looking for God. Especially when you need a word, look for God. Because it's not that God not talking, nor it's that we not listening. God is always speaking. Ooh, come on, somebody. You just got to learn how to look for him and see him. You see, since I preach, I'm always looking for him. Because I'm always looking for a sermon. I'm always, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm always looking for an illustration. I'm always looking for, because while I go about my day, I'm thinking of my points, TP. Anybody hear me up in here? I'm at the NOLA Awards thinking about my points. Yeah, praise. They give him thanks in all things. Praise shall continually be upon me. I'm always thinking about, hallelujah, because I know he's always speaking, Keith. Huh? I don't want to ever have him trying to tell me something and me not listening. All right, because I know I need a word. I need a fresh word. I need a rhema word. I know y'all don't come here, amen, to see how we dress. Y'all come here for a word from the Most High. So I'm
from his cap. That's why I try to always be listening. If you're a preacher, if you're a teacher in here, always be listening. We was telling our men, learn how to begin to teach your families the word of God. All right? Our families, get together and have a Bible study. We was teaching the men that. If y'all ladies, if they hadn't done it yet, they're trying to keep it secret, but it's coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. Y'all got a Bible study coming in y'all families where that man of God going to sit down and teach y'all the word. And you better sit down, amen, and encourage that man of God. Might not even make sense the first time, but you say, praise God, praise. Just let him. Tarry with him. Don't despise meager beginnings. Amen. You should have heard me when I first started teaching. Really just smiling up in there like, oh, you don't make no sense up in here. Listen to me now. I don't know where I was, Brandon, but I'm getting back. All right. Listen. So, man of God, as you teach that Bible study to your family, always be looking for a word. Because he's going to tell you. All right? He's always speaking. And one of the greatest things that you could learn is the repetitive nature of God. How he'll tell you that scripture, and then you come back and you walk in, and then somebody quotes you the same scripture. You know what I'm saying? You're like, what? How did Parker know that? How did Parker know I was about to teach that scripture? How did he know? How did Doug Minister know that? Huh? How did Brolin know that? Huh? How did he quote that? Huh? No, it wasn't them. It was God talking to you. Woo! He was telling you something twice. Oh God. So, hallelujah. The two dreams was one dream. Hallelujah. Now, the next thing that Joseph says, it really excites me. He says the dream of Pharaoh is one. God had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. This is so exciting to me. I'm telling this right here, man, that the Most High God would show a man what he is about to do. Oh, God have mercy. Listen, God don't need permission from none of us. And he don't have to tell us anything, y'all. But that the Most High God that's seated in the third heaven, creator of all things, amen. The one, hallelujah, who sets the sun in motion, amen. Anybody hearing me up in here? The stars, hallelujah, would look down upon us and tell us what he's about to do. It's an amazing thing. That would be like, No, it's not like that, but let me just give you a physical illustration. That would be you going down to an ant and saying, Mr. Ant, I'm about to cut the grass. It's nonsense. He don't even need to know that. Because whether he know or not, you're passing over his ant pile. But you see, for me to say, like, you going to an ant is to make God small. Because the gap between you and an ant is smaller than the gap between you and God. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, God have mercy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, you and an ant, that's creature to creature. But when God come down and tell you something, that's creator to creature. That's two different categories talking. Oh, God have mercy. He said, Pharaoh, God telling you what he about to do. And the awesome thing about our God is that God would condescend to men. That he'll lower himself to men. And we don't know how big that is when God do that. But the angels know. The angels know. Because the angels, when they get in his presence, they can't even look upon his face. You know, they're angels, y'all. And the psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He was made lower than the angels. And you go, hallelujah, skip the angels and come down and talk to us? That's why the angels got excited when he came. They say, glory, hallelujah. In excelsis Deo. Let's not digress. Listen, God reveals to man things. Amos 4:13 says this,
For the Lord, and I have it in the NLT so we can understand it. For the Lord is the one who shapes the mountains. He stirs up the winds. He's the creator, y'all. He made that Grand Canyon, Mount Everest. He made Mount Kilimanjaro. He made, amen, Coonville. He all the way from Kilimanjaro to Coonville. He made all of that. All right? And that God that made all of that, he reveals his thoughts to mankind. Oh, my God. He turns the light of dawn into darkness. He the one who make the sun come up and go down. And treads on the heights of the earth. He inhabits eternity, living in heaven. The Lord, the God of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts is his name. And this is the God that reveals his thoughts to mankind. What a privilege, y'all. What an honor, huh? And here we are not listening to God when he speaks. And he shouldn't be talking to us anyway. All right? Let me tell you something. If you was in England, the Queen wouldn't wave at you. Huh? If you was in D.C., the President wouldn't know your name. Might not talk to you. All right? But the God of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, huh? Wants to have a conversation with you every day. Oh, God. Oh, God, we're not worthy, y'all. We're not worthy. So that's why we ought to be listening. Huh? Amos 3:7. Look what it says. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his what? His secret unto his servants, the prophets. Let me tell you something about God. God has got some secrets. Oh, yeah. He has secrets. He has things that nobody knows but him. All right? And the thing about that is, amen, God want to reveal secrets. He want to tell them. All right? He want to tell them. All right? But we got to want to know them. You see, the problem with us is we worried about everybody's secrets but God's. All right? The women worried about gossiping secrets that they hear that people got going on in their life. And the men worried about Victoria. Oh, the men ain't got that yet. The women got it, but the men ain't got it. Yeah, you worried about Victoria's secrets instead of God's secrets. You're on that computer looking at all kind of stuff. Listen, God not going to give you no secrets like that, no. I got a question for you. Whose secrets you want to know? You want to know Yahweh's secrets or Victoria's? Let me tell you something about Victoria. Victoria's ain't going to get you nowhere. Yes. And woman of God spreading all that gossip and that mess. Trying to find out what pastor got going on, minister got going on, first lady got going on, deacon got going on, trying to just shoo in the church. You're worried about the wrong secrets. You're worried about the wrong secrets. God, Bible said he revealed his secrets. All right? How would you like to walk in a place knowing the secrets of God? Put you on another level, man. Put you on another level. When God look out and say, nobody know this that I'm about to say. And I need somebody in the earth right now to know this information. Because what's about to happen? Who can I trust with my secrets? What category you want to be in? Huh? I don't know about you. I want God to look down and say, God, please. Find me faithful. Tell me your secrets, God. And I won't care how anybody take it, see it, view it, believe it or not, if I heard it from you. Oh, God, I'm. You see? Yeah. Moses heard the secrets. Noah heard the secrets. Abraham heard the secrets. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Huh? God will pick out people in the earth to share secrets with.
In fact, he doesn't do anything in the earth without first revealing it to his secrets to his prophets. I'm trying to talk to somebody. I'm trying to put a hunger in you, a fire in you, so that you'll look at God and you'll say, God, please, I want to know your secrets. You see? Yeah. And look what the Bible tells us. Hallelujah. Daniel 2:28. Look what it says. Hallelujah. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and make it known to Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. I love that, huh? God, show us the latter days. Look at Isaiah 8:19. All right? Look what it says. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Pastor, what's familiar spirits? That's psychics, spiritualists, mediums, card readers. Huh? Sister White, Sister Diane, Cleo. You up in there with Dionne Warwick late at night. You and Montel. All right? You're dealing with familiar spirits. Because the people who read them cards and mess them Ouija boards, amen, is not the spirit of God that they're dealing with. They're dealing with familiar spirits. All right? That's not the spirit of God. Right? You're dealing with familiar spirits, witches and wizards that peep and that mutter. That's not for the people of God. You don't go to them people to read your palm and read your card and read your sign. They read everything. I got something for you. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Come to church and read your Bible. You're reading everything but the Bible. That's pagan ways. That's not for us. You let them people, them unbelievers, them heathens, go down there and get read on. All right? You read your Bible. All right? You don't, listen, we don't even mess with horoscopes. We don't mess with horoscopes. I'm teaching you something. Because some of y'all come in here, y'all come in, Pastor, what's your sign? My sign? My sign? My sign is the fish. Jesus is my sign. And this is new information for some people, so I'm not going to be as critical as I could be. Don't play with that. We don't look to the stars and astrology to know about us. We look to the hills. We look to the heavens. We look to God. Because God is the one who reveals. You get your hands off that. You're inviting spirits in your life. You're inviting spirits in your home. That's why you're on that medicine. That's why, hey, God, you're not stable. That's why you got spirits. Close them doors in your life. Right? And God tells us in his word, Isaiah 8:19, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them. They tell you, go over there. Familiar spirits, wizards that peep and mutter. Look what God say. Don't go over there. Should not a people seek unto their God? If you a Christian, if you a Hebrew, what you going over there for? If you want to know something about the past, the present, or the future, you should go to your God who made the past, the present, and the future, who sees the past, the present, and the future. You want to know something about you? Go to the God that created you. Should not a people seek unto their God? It's the greatest insult to God when you go to the devil to find out the plan for your life. It's the greatest insult to God. You see? Number one, they don't know you like God know you. Number two, they're not going to tell you the right information. God is the one that reveals secrets. Secrets about what's going on the earth. Secrets about the last days. Secrets about your family. Secrets about your life. Should not a people seek unto their God? Come on, give God some glory, amen. Y'all still up out there? He told Joseph, he said, Pharaoh, Joseph told Pharaoh, he said, man, God revealing to you some things.
Look at verse 33, and this is the last one on that. I was about to skip it, but this verse is going to be for somebody here. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And when I answer you, I'm going to show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Just ask me. Just call on me. Bible says, he that lacks wisdom, let him ask. And the God that gives liberally and upbraideth not, he'll give it to you. Let's look at our next verse. Look at 26, amen. And 26 through 33, Joseph just breaks down the dream, y'all. Huh? We almost done. And I'm not going to read all of it, amen. But he just breaks down Pharaoh's dream. He tells Pharaoh that the 7 good heads of cattle and the 7 good ears of corn, that they represent something. Both of them represent 7 years of plenty, of abundance, of blessings. It's like a golden age of Egypt, all right? And out of this gilded age, amen, the earth is going to produce like never before in Egypt. It's going to be blessed. There's going to be an abundance of corn, an abundance of grain, an abundance of vegetation on the earth. Amen. Everybody's going to be doing well. Amen. It's like the roaring 20s in America. It's going to be blessed. Right? But he also says that the 7 malnourished cattle and the 7 skinny and sickly ears of corn, that they represent something as well. They represent 7 years of famine, right? And Joseph is telling Pharaoh that the 7 years of famine are going to come right after the 7 years of plenty. Huh? Now, when I first saw that, I said, boy, the first word that came, phrase that came into my mind was, God is good. Oh, you don't know, man. God is so good, right? Why is he good? Well, he could have allowed the 7 years of famine to come first. He's so good. He's so good. And you can tell he's good because when you are about to go through something, he equips you with what you need before you go through. You don't even know you're about to go through. You don't even know that trouble is on the horizon, but God knows. And he's going to give you exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. Before that person that's instrumental in your life pass away, God is going to do some things that you're going to be able to take that passing. I'm telling you, man, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's a master chess player. And before the hardest times in our life, financially, like he's about to do in Egypt, a great economic awakening happens. I just gave the example about the 20s. But you know the Great Depression happened right after the 20s? He gave plenty first, and then he brought the low. I wonder where we at today. Because we doing good in America, yeah. Oh, the Spirit says, stop that, Pastor. Don't scam up in here. God is good. All right? We're gonna get to that when we talk about the plan. So listen to me. Hallelujah. When we look at verses 30 and 31. Hallelujah. The 7 years of famine are going to hit so hard that the 7 years of plenty will be forgotten. That's the whole thing about the 7 malnourished eating up the 7 healthy. And after they ate the 7 healthy, you couldn't even tell that they ate them. And God was showing Pharaoh that the 7 years of famine are going to be so grievous. Amen. You won't be able to tell that y'all was balling just a few years ago. This spoke to me about the transitory nature of material things.
You see, because one day you could have them, and the next day they gone. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So as we get blessed as a church, in 2018 and in 2019, understand something about material things, right? That God governs that. He governs who have them, who get them, and he governs, amen, how long they're going to have them. And he even decides when he's going to take them away. Job said it best. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He give and he take away. And it's so important for us to not put our trust in, as Solomon says, uncertain riches. Right? And I know you're striving to be blessed. And guess what? Between me and you, you will be blessed. But don't you ever think that your life consisted in the abundance of things that you have, or the abundance of things that other people have. Listen to me good. Put people and put things in the correct category. All right? You worship money too much. You worship things too much. You worship people with money too much. You with me so far? All right? And you don't even know how long you or them gonna have that money. That's why them folks that love money so much, when they lose it, what they do? They kill themselves. They go jump off some building, go do something like that. Listen, you don't even know the cycles of God. See, God got cycles. In God's cycles, they got good times and they got bad times. They got easy times and they got hard times. Listen to me now. You got to know the cycles. All right? Love people and love yourself not for what they have. Love them for who they are and who they represent. You with me so far? Your pastor don't love you for what you have, no. I don't. My love for you ain't changed when you came in and you didn't have much. Now you got a this and you got that. I'm still the same with you. It don't matter to me. All right? Yeah, your tithe is a little bigger, but that don't do nothing to me. It don't make me make no different decisions for you or let you do this. I'm not like that. All right? I don't treat you no better for it. I ain't going to treat you no worse. Huh, Roger? Oh, yeah, you could have nothing. I'm going to love you. And you can have it all. Guess what? And I'm going to love you. It's my G. Yeah, y'all don't know, but that's my. Listen to me, man. All right? Them things come and go. All right? They come and go. They come and go. I got a question for y'all. Would y'all love for me change? Huh? If I didn't have the things I have or do the things I do? You know what I'm saying? Would that change? Huh? What if I had to come to you one day? Huh? Well, that's how cycles change. I'm not wishing for it. But the greatest thing is this. Since you know that material possessions come and go, right? You not only make sure you a person of substance and you deal and you love people of substance, not substance, but substance, all right? But you make sure, amen, that even with all the material possessions, that you got a good hold on God. All right? Because when they take all those things away, they could never take him away. Huh, Steve? We enjoy some nice things. We enjoy some nice cars, some nice house. We enjoy some nice things. But people that done been around and seen some things and been in different countries and seen, you know that all that can go in a moment. But there's one thing that nobody can take away from you, and that's God. I'm trying to tell you up in here, whether it's seven of plenty or seven of famine, I got him, and I'm not letting him go.
All right? There's somebody here today. Huh? You're living for money. You want to get rich or die trying. Huh? And that's your God. And you don't feel like you've accomplished anything unless you got it. And I don't want to kill your hustle. No, 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 no. Be a go-getter. Strive to do things. Amen. Hallelujah, to enrich yourself and enrich your people. Do that. But you better put first things first. You better seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And then all these things going to be added to you. The old hymn writer, amen, had a song that they used to sing back in the day. They used to sing, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred or nail-pierced hands than to be a king in a vast or best domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this old world can afford today. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Hallelujah. Yeah, things come and things go, but Jesus never changes. Listen, if you're here today, and you would tell me, Pastor, I'm not saved, and I don't have Jesus, I want to offer you the best thing, the very best thing that could be offered on this side of heaven or any side. I'm offering you the pearl of great price. I'm offering you, amen, the treasure hidden in the field. I offer to you Jesus, all right? Offer to you Jesus. The way to accept him is quite easy. You admit that you're a sinner, which we all are. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and rose on the third day. And with that belief, you cry out to God and ask him, Lord, save me a sinner. The Bible clearly tells us that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you have everything but Jesus, I want to tell you, you have nothing. You have nothing. Nothing at all. Because naked we came into this world, and naked we're going to depart. You came with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. Why not leave with Jesus? Why not leave with Jesus? Then heaven is going to be yours. Eternal bliss. And God's going to give you some things that neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves can break in and steal. Jesus, Jesus. Listen, we're going to open up the altar. Amen. And if you want to be saved or make sure that you're saved, you'll be able to come here in a moment. If you're here and you're a believer, amen, and this word has ministered to you in any way, I don't know which part. Maybe it was the part about the trouble. And you want to hear God in the trouble. Maybe it was the part about hearing God in our daily life and him speaking in his repetitive way. You want to hear God. Maybe it's about God revealing to you his secrets. If you heard God this morning, and you want the things that we talked about, the altar is open for you as well. Ushers, please open up the altar. We're going to pray. We're going to get out of here. Amen. And next Sunday, we're going to continue with Joseph's story. The altar is open. Please come if you feel led. Come. 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 For salvation. For prayer. For help. God, show me. Show me what the trouble in my life is trying to tell me. You see? We mess around and let trouble happen over and over again and won't get the lesson I don't know about you, but I don't have to have trouble over and over again. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. You know, as a people, that's been our thing. We had not listened to the trouble. But I think we're waking up. I think we're waking up as we look at our inner cities, as we look at slavery, as we look at, I think we're waking up. Trouble is preaching to us. It's telling us who we are, whose we are, and the things we got to get right. Come on, let's pray in this house. Let's pray in this house. Somebody say, God, our Father, thank you for the trouble. Thank you for the good. And thank you for the bad. I know you're going to work it out. I want to admit that I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. But you already know that. I believe that you are Lord. You died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose. Lord, save me, a sinner. And help me understand the trouble. Help me to hear you. Speak to me. Show me your secrets. Open my mind. Open my heart. Speak to me, Lord. I need you. Use me for your glory. Fix me for your people. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. We got to learn to listen to the trouble. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Shalom peace. Peace in your body. Peace in your mind. Peace in your family. Peace in your community. Peace. 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 I pray that this year be your year. Pray it be your year. Pray it be your year. I pray it be your year. I pray you learn so much about God and so much about yourself this year that they can't hold you down. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all.
Love you.
Be blessed. Good morning.
What's up, Isaac? Isaac.
Love y'all.
Looking good.